Welcome, listeners. This is a brand new, special deep dive from AI Unraveled, created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Remember to like and subscribe to AI Unraveled on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us stay on top of the latest in AI. You're listening to The Deep Dive, where we slice through a stack of information, pull out the important bits, the nuggets of knowledge just for you. Today, we're diving into something, well, a lot of us use every day. AI tools, specifically ChatGPT. As AI becomes this sort of indispensable co-pilot, we're asking, a really crucial question. Are we actually enhancing our abilities? Or are we maybe trading convenience for, a cognitive cost?
Exactly. And we're going to unpack some pretty groundbreaking insights from a recent MIT study. It's titled, Your Brain on ChatGPT, The Cognitive Cost of Convenience. This isn't just about, getting things done faster. It's about what's really happening upstairs in our minds when we start outsourcing our thinking.
All right. So our mission today is really to arm you, the listener, with the insights you need to navigate this. It's a complex new landscape, isn't it? We'll explore the cognitive side, identify potential risks, and maybe most importantly, figure out how to use these amazing tools without, losing our own mental edge. Okay, let's get into it. Let's jump straight into this MIT study then. It sounds fascinating. They had students hooked up to EEG monitors.
Yeah, exactly. EEG monitors watching brain activity while they wrote essays. And they had different groups, some writing with nothing, just their brains, some using a search engine and others using ChatGPT.
Okay, so direct neurological measurements. What was the big takeaway? The headline finding?
Well, the headline was pretty striking. It really points to this hidden cost of convenience. Hmm. When students relied on ChatGPT, the EEG data showed quite clearly signs of thinking less, remembering less, and even caring less about their own work.
Thinking less, remembering less, caring less. Wow, that's quite a statement. Can you break that down? Give us some specifics from those EEG readings. What was actually happening in the brain?
Yeah, absolutely. So the EEGs showed students using ChatGPT had, get this, 55% lower neural connectivity compared to the group writing just on their own. And just to clarify, neural connectivity, that's about how efficiently different brain regions are talking to each other, right?
Okay.
So this drop, it directly means less brain engagement, less of that deep processing we need for, active learning and creating stuff. And specifically, they saw less activity in the alpha and beta frequency bands. Those are brain waves linked to focus, active problem solving, putting new information together.
55% lower connectivity plus reduced alpha and beta waves. That is a significant drop in the brain's sort of active work. So yeah. How did that play out? Did it affect their memory regionality?
Oh, definitely. And this really hits the retention question hard. The study found that 83% of the ChatGPT users couldn't quote accurately from their own essays just minutes after writing them.
83%.
Yeah.
Just minutes later.
Minutes later. Compare that to only 11% in the other groups. It's like... They produced the text, but it just washed over them. It wasn't internalized.
Wow.
And yeah, their essays, less original, more generic language. They even used more third-person language, which kind of suggests this detached view, like they didn't really own the words.
Okay, so you've got this huge drop in engagement, memory, ownership. But, they were faster, right? They must have turned out the essays quicker. Doesn't productivity count for something these days?
They were faster, yes. 60% more productive overall, which sounds great on the surface. Big gain in output. But, and this is crucial, the study explicitly said this speed did not universally equate to enhanced learning outcomes.
I found it.
So it points to this trade-off, right? You get the speed, the production, but maybe you lose the depth of understanding. The actual learning. It's quality of engagement versus quantity of output.
That really brings us to a deeper point, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What happens when we're offloading not just the typing, but the actual thinking, the synthesis, the connections?
Precisely. It feels like we might be creating this dependency. You called it a cognitive debt earlier, and I think that's a really apt term.
Cognitive debt.
Yeah.
Can you expand on that?
Well, the study showed that most ChatGPT users felt a diminished sense of ownership, or what they called cognitive agency, over their work. And this idea of cognitive debt, it's the worry that constantly outsourcing the hard thinking might, weaken our long-term cognitive abilities. It's not just about forgetting a few facts. It's about potentially losing some of that intellectual muscle, those neural pathways, for generating new ideas or really grappling with complex problems. Mm-hmm. We risk becoming just conduits for information rather than active processors, and that could impact things like strategic decisions or even complex engineering tasks down the line.
So not just a temporary blip, but maybe a gradual reshaping of how we think. Okay, this next bit is really interesting to me, the adaptation part. They had people switch tools.
They did, to see how the brain adjusted.
Did things bounce back? If you stopped using AI, did your brain jump back into gear? Or did the effects kind of stick around?
Well, the results here were quite illuminating, maybe a bit sobering. The group that used ChatGPT first and then switched back to just using their brain, the LLM to brain group, they still showed weaker neural connectivity, still had that under-engagement in alpha and beta networks compared to the folks who never used AI.
Really? Even after stopping?
Even after stopping. It suggests there might be this lingering effect, like the brain stays in that less engaged mode for a bit.
Wow. That's something to think about. A lingering effect. What about the other way around? If you started with strong thinking habits and then brought in AI, did that make a difference?
Now that's the more hopeful side of the coin. The group that started brain only and then switched to ChatGPT, the brain to LLM group, they actually showed higher neural connectivity than the group that only used ChatGPT previously. It seems they used ChatGPT more strategically, like an assistant, maybe. Not a replacement for their own thinking. And crucially, they remembered more.
Okay.
So it really highlights this point. It's not just about using AI, it's how you use it. If you build that solid foundation, first the critical thinking, the knowledge base, then AI can be this powerful amplifier. But if you lean on it too early, maybe it becomes a crutch.
Use AI, but don't outsource your brain. That seems to be the core message. And it really hammers home the importance of building that foundational knowledge first, mm-hmm. which actually is a perfect moment to mention. For anyone listening who does want to truly master AI, get certified, and really boost their career, Etienne Newman, the creator and producer of AI Unraveled, has some fantastic resources. We're talking AI certification prep ebooks and audiobooks, things like Azure AI Engineer Associate, Google Cloud Generative AI Leader Certification, AWS Certified AI Practitioner, Azure AI Fundamentals, Google Machine Learning Certification, a whole suite. You can find them at dgmgettech.com, Shopify, or Google Playbooks. Plus, check out Etienne Newman's toolkit, the AI Unraveled Builder's Toolkit. It's packed with tutorials, guides, audio, video, everything to help you start building with AI. All the links in the show notes, of course.
And you know, this study, these findings, they're not just stuck in the lab. They're really echoing concerns and discussions happening in the real world in organizations right now.
Right, it's moving beyond academia. Have we seen concrete examples where this sort of thing maybe reduced critical thinking or over-reliance caused actual problems?
Oh, absolutely. On a practical level, we've seen internal company memos, things like OpenAI ChatGPT, not cyber safe for work.
Yeah.
These highlight very real cybersecurity and data privacy risks. I mean, what happens when you feed sensitive company data into these tools? Some places have just blocked them entirely.
Yeah, the security aspect is huge.
Definitely. And then there's the more dramatic example you mentioned earlier.
The AI safety moment. Mm-hmm. The ChatGPT courtroom catastrophe. That one was a real cautionary tale, wasn't it?
It really was. A lawyer used ChatGPT for legal research, and it completely fabricated case law, made up precedents that didn't exist.
Oh, no.
And they filed it in court. It's such a stark illustration of the danger of just completely outsourcing critical thinking and verification. It hammers home that AI is maybe a great co-pilot and assistant, but it's not the final decision maker. It's not the fact checker. You still need that human judgment.
Absolutely.
And we see these conversations popping up everywhere, like the NGIS applications team chat sharing this very MIT study internally. There's a growing awareness of both the cognitive side and these practical pitfalls.
That human oversight piece is key. And speaking of insights and leadership in AI, this seems like a good spot to mention. Calling all AI innovators and tech leaders listening, if you're looking to elevate your authority, share your own cutting-edge work, and reach a really engaged audience, AI pros, researchers, decision makers, consider becoming a sponsored guest right here on AI Unraveled.
Mm.
You can share your insights, talk about your latest projects, your vision for AI's future, and a dedicated interview. Learn more about our thought leadership partnership, see the benefits, and apply over at djamgeek.com for MadeAfterUI-Unraveled. As always, link in the show notes.
So let's try and bring this all together. What does this mean for you listening right now? The learner, the innovator, maybe just the everyday AI user? How do we move forward with these tools knowing what we now know from studies like this?
I think it means we have to be really mindful, really vigilant about how we weave these tools into our thinking processes. Yes, they offer incredible speed and productivity boosts, but the goal can't just be more output. It has to be about understanding more, truly owning our knowledge, engaging critically. We need to consciously train ourselves to use AI to enhance our thinking, not replace it. Maybe it's about designing our workflow specifically to keep our own mental muscles active and resilient.
Yeah, augmentation, not abdication. Use it as a tool, not a crutch. Keep that human brain, which is still the most powerful processor we've got, sharp and engaged. And just a quick reminder again for the AI innovators and tech leaders out there. Want to share your vision on AI Unraveled? Become a sponsored guest. Elevate your brand. Reach a dedicated AI audience. Find out more about the Thought Leadership Partnership and apply at djamgatetech.com/unraveled. Links in the show notes. And don't forget, if you're aiming to get certified in AI, boost that career, Etienne Noumi's resources are there for you. The ebooks, audiobooks for major AI certifications available at djamgate.com, Shopify, Google Playbooks, plus the AI Unraveled Builder's Toolkit for tutorials and guides. Check the show notes for all those links. Okay, so this deep dive, it really leaves us with a final, maybe provocative thought for you to ponder. In your own experience using these tools, has AI made you sharper? Or maybe a little bit rustier? How can we proactively make sure this amazing technology enhances our minds, truly expands our capabilities, without letting that cognitive engagement slip away? Something to reflect on.
Thanks for diving deep with us today. We really hope you gained some valuable insights.